From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 5th day of October, 2022. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. She's at TotalFarmMarketing.com. And then a bit later in the program, Drew Lerner will be here with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. He and I'll go through what's happening here in the United States, parts of South America, and we'll check in on Australia today. The wheat crop there has been really good. The question is whether it will stay really good. We'll hear more from Drew about that. And we'll also talk today about the cash grain market with Greg Johnson of TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing in Champaign County on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day settled at $6.84. It was a penny higher. The March at $6.91 and a quarter, up one and a quarter. And May futures a penny and a quarter higher at $6.92 and a quarter. November beans, $13.69 and three quarters, down 13 and three quarters. January 13 lower at $13.80 and a half. And March futures at $13.89, down 12 and a half cents. Bean oil futures up 52 cents and the bean meal $3 lower on the day. Wheat futures, soft red, 902, a penny lower in the December. The hard red at 990 and a quarter, up 1.5 cents for the day. Live cattle futures were up 42.5. Feeders, $2.12.5 higher, and lean hogs up $2.07.5 for the day. Jackie Vakes of TotalFarmMarketing.com now joins us to talk about the marketplace. Hi, Jackie. Thank you for being with us on this Wednesday again.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the support and resistance levels today.
December corn, $6.69 and $7.66. March, $6.89 and $8. And May, $6.83 and $7.02. And those are big improvements from last week. Beans, same as last week. November, $13.09, $14.15. January, $13.19 and $14.22. And March, $13.81 and $14.29. December gold, $16.96 and $17.90. Dow Jones, 28,670 and 30,253. Dollar improvement from last week, 109 and a quarter to 113.12. Managed money, you know, you and I talk every week, and it never ceases to amaze me how it just flips back and forth. Last week, they were short 24,000 wheat. Now they're short 12,000. 220,000 corn last week, long 255,000 this week. Long 78,000 beans, 99 this week. 80,000 oil, 82,000, excuse me, meal, 82,000 this week, and 47,000 oil and 63,000 this week. So, you know, they are forever moving. Question about that. Our index trade added 452 contracts to wheat, and this week dropped 17,174 longs and 7,342 in corn and beans. Inspections. Wheat exports ended down 3% compared to 4% last week. Corn is now 4% ahead of a year ago. It was 21% last week. Soybeans 4% behind compared to 18% ahead last week.
Next week, a week from today, in fact, USDA will release the October World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate. It will not this year update acreage because that happened already in the month of September, but there will likely be some changes coming related to the grain stocks report released on the last day of September. What are the expectations so far?
Well, we don't have any estimates out yet, which isn't surprising, but it looks as if they're probably going to lower the corn crop and exports at the same time and just leave the carryout about the same. We may see them raise the bean crop because it did go up a little bit on the grain stocks report adjustments and lower exports, which would raise carryout for beans. And we might see them lower the U.S. wheat crop, but the other side of it is they'll probably raise the Russian crop. You know, we got a cat and mouse game going on with Russia and Ukraine. Now with Ukraine taking back part of the annexed Russian territory. So, you know, that's still always the elephant in the room waiting to see what's going to happen. We had StoneX raise their corn crop yesterday, 112 million bushels, and the bean crop, 64 million bushels. And so that kind of took some of the fire out. Yesterday we were up. Today we've been steady to down on both corn and beans. You know, when you look at the weather, it looks really good for harvest, but holy cow, it's really raising cane with the Mississippi River. I found an article in Reuters. They said commercial barge traffic on the southern stretches of the Mississippi was at a standstill on Tuesday as low water levels halted grain shipments of fertilizer, grain, other commodities on the critical waterway. About 100 towboats hauling some 1,600 barges were lined up for miles waiting to pass through one trouble spot near Lake Providence, Louisiana, that's been largely closed since late last week. And all of us know that this does nothing but raise cane with basis, you know, and everything else that's going on at this particular time of year, as well as preventing things from coming back up the river. I mean, some people think we just put things down. We bring a lot of stuff back up the river, too. You know, kind of brings credence. I saw the other day that they had little to no orders coming out of the Gulf when it came to grain. And I would imagine a lot of that has to do with the fact that they can't necessarily get there. Another thing that's affecting the market, Todd, is that the UN, they asked the world banks to hold off on interest rate hikes yesterday due to the impact on the global economy, which when you looked at yesterday's markets, we were up on the commodities, we were down on the dollar. Everything was going the opposite way. Overnight, the Fed came out, the U.S. Fed came out and said that they're likely going to hike the interest rate 75 basis points. And so today that's putting some pressure on the market too. OPEC did come out today, say they're going to cut 2 million barrels, which was on the high end of the guesses, and brought some life back into the energy markets again. So kind of crazy. There's an awful lot of things going on that are affecting the market right now.
That's a lot of things going on around the planet in North America. And of course, we have South America geared up for the planting season. So much happening there, including the election that happens Sunday. I guess there'll be a runoff.
Yeah, that's absolutely the truth. Lula, which just blows my mind. I mean, this guy's been in prison, actually came in with a slightly larger number than when Bolsonaro had. But there's going to be the two leading candidates are going to have a runoff on October 30th. And the agriculture community is very much behind Bolsonaro, mostly because he's all for expanding agricultural production, kind of lax environmental regulations, reduce funding and staffing for the environmental and indigenous agencies. And so he's very popular with them. So this is going to be a real tight election. And it's going to be interesting to see, I mean, depending upon who wins, there'll be a major change in the country if Lula wins compared to what's been going on with Bolsonaro. When you look down there, they've got their first crop corn, 37% planted. Five-year average is 34%. And on soybeans, they're 5% planted compared to the average of 3%. So they're moving along on that. One of the articles I did read, Ted, was that Mato Grosso is going to try and upgrade BR-163. You know, the soybean highway we've talked about so very many, many times, you know, just so important to getting their grain to the northern ports on the Amazon and the rail terminals in the southern part of the state. And it's been a mess. And the problem is that this contractor who actually won the right to expand the highway back in 2014 declared bankruptcy. And so they're accused of multiple bribery scandals in the worldwide construction business. And so it's been a battle between the Brazilian Justice Department and these guys to try and cancel this contract. But it looks like it's probably going to happen. Last week, state of Mato Grosso moved a step closer to assuming control. And this would really make a huge difference because since 2014, it was supposed to be completed by 2018, making BR-163 a four-lane rather than just a two-lane. And they've only done 120 kilometers out of 800 kilometers, and that's it. And so it has really made it difficult. And what it has added even more problems is that BR-163 is a toll road. So, you know, they've been collecting tolls on this thing for almost 10 years to upgrade the roads. And the only thing they've ended up with is brand new toll plots. I shouldn't laugh, but that's kind of the way it works, I guess. So the people in Mato Grosso are pretty fed up, and they're ready to see this move along. Down in Argentina, we're all familiar with the soybean dollar, you know, which they basically said to them, you know, you can trade in your dollars and exchange at 200 pesos rather than 100 pesos per dollar, so or 140, excuse me. And so they actually ended up selling about 40%. Of their total production in that period between September 5th and September 30th. So we'll see if they continue. We haven't heard any more about a continuing program.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week, not too long after USDA releases its WASDE figures for the month of October.
You betcha. You have a great one. Thanks, Dad.
You too. That's Jackie Vake. She is with TotalFarmMarketing.com. Let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hi, Drew. Thank you for being with us. Start with the forecast for the next few days and maybe the next week across the Midwest, the Corn Belt, for harvest of corn and soybeans, please.
You know, we are in a very good mode right now for weather. I think the harvest will move along relatively well. We only have a handful of showers that are going to show up periodically. We have two frontal systems over the next 10 days that will come through. They are rather potent frontal systems. They will come in with a lot of colder air behind it, but only for a temporary shot of a couple of days, and we go right back into some warm weather. But there will be some wind out there, so the wind might be a little bit of a factor with each of these frontal passages. The first front comes down here really tomorrow, and will pass through most of the Midwest during the course of the day. Tomorrow we'll have a high pressure center settling on top of us. Shortly after that, coldest on Saturday morning. We'll have some freezes in the Dakotas and parts of Minnesota, but we'll be a little frosty in parts of the lower Midwest. Maybe I don't expect to see many freezes down that way. And then we'll warm up and we'll do the same thing all over again next week as another surface high pressure center comes down and another round of a few showers and some wind and cooling. So it's that time of the year, but there's nothing to fear. I don't think we're gonna move right along with our field work, I believe.
It sounds like those are spilling out of the Canadian prairies. Do they make it to the southwestern part of the United States? And by that, I mean into the hard red winter growing regions, really the Kansas and Oklahoma, Texas area.
Yeah, you know, the fronts will get down there. There will be a little bit of upslope that will occur. And I think the models are trying to create an environment there where there might be a little bit of meaningful rain in parts of West Texas, the Texas Panhandle, northward into southwest Kansas and western Oklahoma. This will occur probably as we get out towards the end of the weekend and early next week, probably Sunday through Tuesday. I think the models are overdoing the rain a little bit. So even though I'm going to tell you it's going to rain down that way, and I think it will, I'm just not convinced it's going to be real good amounts of rain. But we could see a quarter to three quarters of an inch, and when you're trying to get the wheat crop to germinate and emerge, that's not bad. But we're not going to do much to ease the drought in that area.
Moving further to the south, what do things look like in the center west part of Brazil and other places where they are planting the next season's crops?
Yeah, we had a nice little bout of rain last week across some of those areas. That really helped to improve the topsoil moisture, more so in center south Brazil and Paraná, parts of Mato Grosso do Sul and São Paulo. But Mato Grosso did get involved with some of that rain. We took a little break. In fact, we're still in that break right now. But we have two frontal systems that will be cutting across Brazil that will tap into some subtropical moisture. So most of this region from Mato Grosso down to Paraná and parts of São Paulo and Minas Gerais will all be getting rain, two waves of it that'll be fairly significant, a really nice environment for boosting soil moisture and setting the stage for some aggressive planting progress. So there's going to be some locally heavy rain in some of those center south areas, and there's already a little bit of grumbling going on by some of the producers because of the rain that has occurred already. So this won't go over real well when we get the heavier rains down that way. I think the biggest issue, even though there's going to be some delay in planting, the biggest issue that I see is still in the wheat quality. There's a lot of wheat still waiting to be harvested in Paraná, and they've already suffered from the wet bias, and they'll probably continue to do so with this next two rounds of rain coming up.
You mentioned farmers grumbling. I suspect that's still the case, the grumbling that is, in parts of Argentina, maybe the deep southern parts of Brazil, as La Nina has hung around for a while.
Yeah, boy, we got another couple of months of La Nina. We're getting ready to peak out that third wave of La Nina here over these next few weeks, and then we'll start a more notable weakening trend in November and December. So in the interim, we will probably continue to struggle with some dryness in Argentina. It is very dry across that country. We had a little shower activity there last night, and we got a little bit more occurring today. But just like in hard red winter wheat country, it's really hard to break the drought with this kind of moisture that's expected to occur. There's going to see a trace to maybe 4 or 5 tenths of an inch at the absolute most, and I'm probably being way too I'm not giving them too much moisture. I think the once this event is over, we'll go right back into some dry weather again, and we'll likely see that last for another week down the road. Now, late this month, we'll shift the dry out of western Argentina and put it into the eastern areas and then allow it to expand up into Rio Grande do Sul. But that won't start occurring until we get to late month or early in November. So for the next 30 days, probably a little bit of a mix, but still favoring dry, biased conditions in a large part of Argentina.
And as we close out our time together, let's stay in the southern hemisphere, but switch to Australia and talk about their wheat crop.
Yeah, Australia is the one place that I'm really quite concerned with right now, mainly because of the rainy weather that is occurring in eastern portions of the country there. They were very wet until this past weekend. They got a nice little break in the pattern, which they so badly needed. But there are waves, multiple waves of rain that are going to move through New South Wales again as we go forward through the balance of this week, the weekend, and early next week. And there's probably going to be 3 to 5 inches of rain across some of the very most important wheat and barley and canola production areas. And that it won't take long for the ground to be saturated again. I think they're going to get a little bit of flooding this time around because the rivers and streams are up quite a bit. So there may be some issues there. And I don't believe this is the end of the wet bias. So we're going to see that repeated several times yet as we move through late October into November. I fully anticipate a quality issue for wheat, barley, and canola. And in some La Nina events like this, they've seen that wheat crop go from a really superior looking crop to feed grain in a few weeks. So I'm not necessarily saying that that's going to happen, but keep a close eye on it. It could have a big impact on the world's wheat supply.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Let's check in on the cash grain situation now with Greg Johnson. He is at TGM, Total Grain Marketing, here in Champaign County, Illinois. Hi, Greg. Thank you for being with us. Tell us about activity in the area to begin with.
Well, it's finally getting going in our area. It's been a slow start. We planted 2 to 3 weeks later, and with the hot, dry summer, we thought maybe we would speed things up a little bit, but I think as it turns out, we're just still 2 to 3 weeks later, but we're finally now getting going. I'd say maybe 10% of the corn has been harvested in our area, and this has been a big bean week. Every day, a few more people are starting on beans, and so we're probably approaching 30% harvested on beans, and by the end of the week, we should be close to half done, I would hope.
Are producers pleasantly surprised?
Yeah, they're happy with the bean yields, mid-70s in our area. Last year, we were in the 75 to 82 range, so we're not as good as last year, but we're close. And so I think, you know, farmers are very happy with those kind of yields, and the corn is the surprising one so far. And again, this is very early with only 10% of the corn harvested, and that's the early planted corn, the early harvested corn. But farmers that yield checked or field checked those fields thought we would have 190 bushel corn in our area, and they're turning out to be 210, so 20, 25 bushels better on the early planted corn. Now, I hope that trend continues throughout the corn that got planted in late May, early June. We haven't gotten to that yet, but at least for the corn that got planted in late April, early May, the yields have been pleasantly surprising to the farmers.
Kind of a long September, a lot of sunshine, some growing degree days, and not too warm, so it managed to, I suppose, just put on some weight, and there was some rainfall in that month as well.
Yeah, the corn stayed green. You know, in 2012, I remember the stalks turning brown really early, and this year the stalks, for whatever reason, you know, variety improvement or temperatures weren't quite as hot or what it was, subsoil moisture. But for whatever reason or combination of reasons, it seems like the corn hung in there a lot better than it did in 2012, even though the rainfall totals were very similar in the summer of 2012 to this summer. But it looks like we're going to come out better than expected, which is good. It's still not going to be a great, you know, a bumper crop, but it's going to be a good crop in our area here in East Central Illinois.
The transition, of course, now from old crop to new crop has been completed on basis, or at least I think it probably has. What did that look like?
It was we knew the pipeline was empty, and then with harvest being 2 weeks later, that added another wrinkle to it. It just took a little bit longer to get the pipeline filled than what the market was anticipating. So those quick shipment premiums, the better basis levels for quick shipment old crop versus new crop hung in there a little bit longer. But as you said, I think we've now transitioned to where everything is just new crop, and we're slowly starting to fill the pipeline back up. But I think all the quick shipment premiums are out of the market at this point.
Now, your facility is mostly rail. However, the river plays a big role in the marketplace, and many are concerned about the depth of the Mississippi, not being able to move barges. What impact does that have?
It's had an impact. People that need corn and beans have gone to trying to buy from the rail markets as opposed to the barge market. And as you can imagine, now it's hard to find rail cars. The demand for rail cars has really increased, and so now they're very hard to come by. But I think we will see a fair amount of grain switch from barge to rail. And truck, for that matter, until if and when we start seeing some rainfall back again.
Is the lift in the rail market offsetting completely the basis drop out of the Mississippi draw area?
I would say probably it's very close. A lot of elevators, since we're still in the first third of harvest, went in empty, and so we've got plenty of room to fill bins until we have to start moving by rail or truck or whatever. So we haven't really seen the impact yet. It'll be that last third of harvest where that'll be the question. You know, can we get it moved in a timely fashion, or will we have to see ground piles? But so far, with everyone going in empty because of the big inverses in corn and beans this past year, that's the one good thing. I think most elevators went in empty, and so there's plenty of storage space for at least the first 80-90% of this crop.
Does domestic demand for both corn and soybeans still look good?
It does. It really does. You know, we're seeing good bids. I think the crop was smaller than what we were hoping for. So I think end users are going to step up and get some coverage, because we've seen what's happened to the basis the last couple of years. We've had big overs in the market once this crop gets put away. So I think end users want to get coverage sooner rather than later.
Now, what are your expectations for basis over the next week?
Harvest activity looks like it's going to be very good. So I think basis levels just hang in there, maybe weaken ever so slightly. But I think everybody's got one eye on, once harvest is over with and this crop gets put away, basis levels will probably rebound sharply after harvest. So I don't think we'll see too big of a drop here, because I think everybody anticipates a pretty good rebound in basis levels once harvest finishes up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson with Total Grain Marketing, TGM, from right here in Champaign County. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. It is public radio for the farming world.